when the universe burst open, and I found that I was safe, and I couldn't turn away. All that I could ever be was shining right in front of me, and all that I am was right there in my of someone loving is a feeling overwhelming, and the giving into bliss like the soul's holy kiss. In everything surrounding me, the beauty of eternity, and everything's made of this never-ending. Cause the magic is really me.
Good morning, and welcome to CSL Midtown Atlanta and beyond, because we are just all over the place right now. So we're very happy to have you here, and I'm still celebrating Christmas, so I'm here in front of the tree. However you celebrated Christmas, if you chose to celebrate Christmas, I hope it was joyous and wonderful and safe. We are at that week between Christmas and New Year's, and I was reading online that they call that the witching week, because people are just sort of lost and they don't know what day it is. So thank you for remembering it is Sunday and being here. It is our last Sunday service celebration for the year. We made it. So Dr. Bob is enjoying a day off. I'm Reverend Cynthia McCarthy, and I'm very pleased to be here today as your guest leader and guest speaker. And if you don't know this already, later on today in our little talk, you're going to need a pen and some paper, because we're going to do some fun exercises. So if you don't have that, snag that and have that handy. As I said, I'm very glad that you chose to spend your Sunday online with us. And I think you are here by divine appointment. So you're here for a reason. There's something you need to hear. Please know that you are welcome here, and we accept, honor, and love you for the divine expression of life that you are. Such is the nature of life that all it asks is the opportunity to show up. You are that opportunity. And so am I, and so it is. Now, our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote a Declaration of Principles, and they remind us of who we are and what we believe. And we read a little condensed version of that. You guys could read this with me if you'd like. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Well, Centers for Spiritual Living have licensed prayer practitioners who go through years of training and have valuable experience with spiritual mind treatment and affirmative prayer. And this is the part of our service where we ask one of them to share their insights and lead us in a treatment. Today, we are happy to hear from Lee Huffman.
Got it. Thank you, Cynthia. Good morning, everybody. I want to get a shameless promotion for this book. And on the 1st of January, the practitioners are starting the new year off with the book that actually started what's now our adult study group. Several years ago, a group of us put this together. And this is 365 Science of Mind is the name of the book. You got time to order it on Amazon. It looks like this. Well, it's sort of been in and out. But it's a year of daily wisdom from Ernest Holmes. And what you have is a daily reading. It's the adult study group is fantastic because we come together once a week and we talk about the past 7 days of readings and daily adult study practices that we have. So each page, I don't know if you can see it or not, but it keeps warping out. Each page is one study. So there's 365 days in here, and it's really good. It takes 20 to 30 minutes for me, including my meditation time, to do a daily spiritual practice. And I'd recommend it for everybody. It's very heart-opening, not just eye-opening. So then you can come together at 10 o'clock on Sundays on this line, the same line that you got on here, if you're on Zoom, and talk about the topics that were read the last 7 days with practitioners and other members that are reading this. So get ready to do that. Order your books today so you can write that down. And I'm going to read actually from December 23rd. And you'll see that each of these pages, each of these devotionals, if you will give two or three scriptures from various books. And then it will give an interpretation or a commentary on that from Ernest Holmes. And these are from his writings. And so they're really pretty good. They were also written over 100 years ago in some cases. So some of the wording may be a little bit tough for us, but it's really, really a good thing to go through. So let's start with this. I am alive, awake, aware. My spiritual eyes are open. That's the title of December 23rd's reading. The first scripture comes from 1 Corinthians, and it says, "For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." The second scripture says, "O ye people, earthbound folk, ye who have given yourself to drunkenness and sleep and ignorance of God, be sober now. Cease from your surfeit. Cease to be glamored by irrational sleep." That's from Hermes' writing, which is another spiritual text. And the third is, "If ye know God as God ought to be known, you would walk on the seas, you would walk on water, and the mountains would move at your call. as it says in the Bible, you could speak to the mountain and it would be moved if we're connected to the universe, to God, as we should be. And I can't pronounce the writing that that's from, so I'm going to pass on that. But let me continue reading the interpretation or the commentary. He says, quote, "For now, we see through the glass darkly." How familiar is this passage to all of us? Many of us, it's a very familiar passage. But what does it mean other than our vision is clouded by the material sense of things? Hermes, on the other hand, tells us that we are both drunk and asleep, that we are ignorant of God. Emerson tells us that once in a while we awake from our slumber and look around to perceive the world of reality, but too soon sink back into sleep. And from another ancient text quoted above, we are told that if we knew God as we ought to, we would be able to walk on the sea, that mountains would come at our call. All progress is awakening. All progress is awakening. Every scientific fact is a discovery. This also is an awakening. It is really true that we are largely asleep, dreaming away our hours. Quote, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life." End quote. It is indeed high time that we wake up from our sleep. No one can awaken us but ourselves. I cannot awaken you, and you cannot awaken me. I must awaken myself. Let us then make every endeavor to arouse the mind to reality and to penetrate the gloom of fear and superstition, to cast aside doubt and uncertainty, to behold the light, which is eternal. I awake, I awake, I awake. I am alive, awake, and aware. My spiritual eyes are open, and from a long night's sleep, I awake. It's December 23rd in 365 Science of Mind. It's that easy. You know, that was 3 or 4 minutes, hopefully. And then I can study and think about it and say, what does that really mean to me? Because there is so much meaning in this book. And then you get together with other members and practitioners to talk about it. So I'm done with the shameless plug and the reading for today. What is a treatment? Some of you are new here. And some of you are watching it online, maybe on Facebook on a recording for the first time. And we want to welcome you, but we want to tell you what a spiritual mind treatment is. It's a fancy name for an affirmative prayer. It is really about, and there's a posting that just got put on a comment about how you can get the link to this book online. So thank you for putting that up. But a spiritual mind treatment is a way of looking at ourselves and our relationship to God, to the universe, to being in the spiritual plane rather than just in the material plane. So let me offer a spiritual mind treatment. And when I say it, when most practitioners say it, we say it for ourselves because we're really treating our own mind. And if you hear words that fit with you and they resonate with you, then please come and take those words into your spirituality, into your mind, into your heart, and know that they're good for you. And if it doesn't fit, if it doesn't resonate with you, throw it away. That's just fine. So let's relax a bit. Got to straighten up here and get in a more relaxed posture. And know these things with me as I start this spiritual mind treatment for you. I know that there is one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I know this God created everything around us. I know that this God created me. I know that in the beginning, there was nothing but God. And so everything that is created is part of God because it came out of God. I know that it is wonderful to draw near God and to awaken out of my sleep. I know that in 2021, I will draw nearer to God. I will draw nearer to spirit. I know that in 2021, I will become more spiritual, not for the world to see me, but for me to see the truth of the world. I know that in 2021, I will attract more of what I desire and deserve into my life. I know that nothing can come between me and God. Nothing can separate me from God except me. Nothing can awaken me to God except me. In 2021, nothing will keep me from drawing closer to God. Nothing. From this day forward, I will draw closer to God and I will draw closer to good. I know this to be true, and I know it will open up a whole new world to me. So I release these words into the universe, which is all that God is, and God is all. It will be done. And together we say, and so it is. Thank you. Have an amazing and safe end to 2020 and a wonderful 2021 ahead of you. And join the adult study group if you can. And even if you can't, reach out, get the online book. I think that's a PDF, I'm not certain. Or buy the book itself. I like to write notes in it. And enjoy a spiritual awakening as we awaken together. I love the song that is coming up. I love Daniel Nemod, and it's Get Ready, My Soul.
Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in to the deepest kind of love. To the sweetest kind of life. Get ready, get ready, my soul. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever seen, everything I've lost or won, everything I've ever dreamed has brought me here to the present moment here, to a new beginning here, and I'm seeing life so clear. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in to the deepest kind. To the sweetest kind of life. Get ready, get ready, my soul. 'Cause here I go, deeper, deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. sacred source. Here I go, deeper, deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. Here I go, closer, closer, closer to my sacred source. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in to the deepest kind of love, to the sweetest kind of life. Get ready, get ready, my soul. Get ready, get ready, my soul.
Well, right before my talk, I like to kind of stretch out, and I almost just knocked the tree over. And all I could think was, wouldn't that just be the best way to just end 2020 for us, you know, just knocking the whole tree over. So congratulations, you have made it to the last Sunday in 2020 with your spiritual enthusiasm intact because you are here with us. Now, before we tear that calendar page and dive into 2021 and all the ways that we can make magic next year, which is our theme for the day, we have some work to do, don't we? Healing and releasing 2020. Now, often on the final Sunday service of the year, New Thought centers like ours, Centers for Spiritual Living, Unity Churches, and some Unitarian Universalist churches will do a releasing ceremony. And they give us an opportunity to contemplate the year and everything that we experienced and consider our role in those experiences, as far as our thoughts, our beliefs, our words, and our actions. We get to take a moment to think about what is no longer serving us, what we want to consciously release before looking to the new year. Now, I've been to a lot of these ceremonies before in the past. I'm sure you have too. And I got to lead one once, actually. They're really neat and special. You know, sometimes they'll have like a big cauldron with fire burning in it, and you get your little piece of flash paper to write on, and you declare it, and you write on it, and you put it in the fire, and you let it go. I think last year at our center, we did the dissolving kind of releasing ceremony, where we had a big bowl of water up at the front of the center, and you get your piece, your little piece of dissolving paper, and you listen to the talk, and at the end, you write down what you need to release, what is no longer serving you. And then at the end, you get to put it in the water and watch it dissolve, and or, you know, you put it in the fire, whatever the case may be. And these ceremonies are very meaningful. Now, when I come to this point in this year, to this moment of community spiritual practice, we're faced with a couple challenges. The first one being, we're all online right now. So the important, meaningful physical act of dissolving your paper or burning your paper is yours to do this week, privately. And I encourage you to do that safely in your own home or in your fireplace or your backyard or at your kitchen sink, wherever you figure out how you want to do that. But the other big challenge I think we have is when we look at 2020 and all that we have experienced, a piece of paper this big probably isn't going to cut it. How big of a piece of paper do we need? how big of a bonfire do we need to build? If you're going to dissolve it, I hope you've got a swimming pool to put that in, right? I think we can all agree and admit that it has been a year. It's a lot. And we are spiritual people who study spiritual principles. And I think so many of us are asking, what am I supposed to do with all these things that are happening in the world? Or maybe you're saying, with all these things that are happening to me. From a spiritual perspective, what is the lesson here? Now, I don't have the consummate answer to that, but I do have an answer, my answer that I've come up with is that 2020 is a year where life, capital L, the one life, and the lowercase L life, our life, all of it, life is rebalancing itself. When we think about this one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence, one life that exists, its nature is peace, balance, and harmony. The very existence of this power is good. Ernest Holmes said all the time that there is a power for good in the universe, greater than we are, and we can use it. But I think it's fair to say that it is challenging to focus on the good in a year like 2020. There's a quote by Marianne Williamson that takes this all a step farther for these moments when we are on our knees seeking answers to why horrible things are happening. She reminds us, the universe is self-organizing and self-correcting. It always moves in the direction of good. I like this quote so much, I'm going to say it again. The universe is self-organizing and self-correcting. It always moves in the direction of good. Now, if we think back to whatever we were doing in January 2020, the beginning of this year, even though we might have been skating along thinking everything was just fine, it might not have been. Life knows when things are not balanced. And when things are not balanced anywhere, life is going to correct itself. So I think what this means is whatever needs healing or rebalancing, correcting, or restoring is going to receive it, even if that means it gets a little wonky for humans. Now, one example I saw of this year was the planet. If you remember when the pandemic really exploded back in March and April, and there were global lockdowns. And I know Italy's COVID-19 numbers were off the charts. And so everything was shut down. And the canals in Venice ran clear for the first time in decades because there were no boats polluting the water. There's also been a reduction in the global CO2 emissions for the year because so many people are either not working or are working from home and not driving their cars. So whether we want to acknowledge it or not, the planet was having a moment restoring itself. Another example is for centuries, this country has been plagued by systemic racism, starting all the way back from slavery, social injustice. And this is the year that it seemed to erupt with people recognizing how wrong it is, and recognizing the fact that things need to change. The inequality and the unfairness of that is something that needs correcting. Looking back at the contentious election that we all experienced, we can see that the principles of our democracy and our electoral process need restoring and strengthening. The country is a living thing because we're all in it. We're living beings and we make up the country. It is rebalancing itself. Another example I saw unfolding is this huge dichotomy between wealthy billionaires and the working poor trying to survive in a pandemic. It's very possible that our economic structures and practices that we've had for years are in need of harmonizing and rebalancing. The events of this year have many of us feeling off balance, unstable, and insecure. So the question is, how do we heal this in ourselves and move forward? Now, I have this image in my mind that I can't get rid of, and it's really helped me digest and process 2020. So I'm going to share it with you in case it's helpful. About 8 years ago, Nintendo came out with a video game system called the Wii, the Nintendo Wii. And I don't know if any of you had one. My kids were little at the time, and their grandma got them one for Christmas. So, and it was really fun. You know, you had this controller thing, you could slip on your wrist and you could move around and your guy on the screen would move based on your movements. Now, one of the components that you could buy was called the Wii Fit, which was this game part of it that was about being active and exercising and playing games to do that. And it came with this thing called a balance board. And it was this big rectangular board, about 20 by 12 inches, and it had sensors in it and a scale, and it all synced with the main console that's connected to the TV. So when you stepped on it, the board could track and correlate to your avatar character on the TV screen in the video game. And it was really fun. Now, here's what I remember the most about this balance board Wii Fit game. And I will admit, I played it a lot because it was really fun. What I remember the most is before you could start a game, the balance board would need to calibrate to your avatar. So you would step on and you would have to stand very still while the screen would beep and this bright light would swirl around your character on the TV. And it would say, calibrating, measuring. And you just had to wait and be still until it was aligned with the power of the gaming console. Only then, when it was aligned, could you have fun and make magic and play the game that you chose. You couldn't play the game unless you had the moment of stillness. Now, that visual analogy of stepping onto the balance board with the purpose of being still and aligning with the source is what this moment feels like for me. Let's catch our balance. Be still. And take a moment to release what no longer serves, heal what needs to be healed before making magic and having fun in 2021. Remember fun? We're going to do this by contemplating some questions. There are 10 of them, and this is where you'll want your pen and paper. Now, I definitely suggest writing down the question first because we're going to go a little faster than I would like. So write down the question as we go. And then in a minute, we're going to play a song for you. And during the song, you'll have some time to go back and reflect on any of the questions you didn't get to. So let me share. Okay, so this is question number one. Whoops. That is not question number one. That was question number 10. I just lied. This is question number one. What have you experienced this year? Now, the big events might be the same for us all. You know, we all have gone through a pandemic. We've all dealt with social distancing. But only you know if you've lost a job or a business, or dealt with having a parent in a nursing home, or felt crippling loneliness, or watched a protest outside your window, you know? It doesn't have to all be negative either. I got a great new job. I have a guest speaking gig every month that I love. Jot down the things you have experienced this year. I know I'm not giving you enough time, but that's why we're jotting down the questions. So let's go to question number two. What do you miss? There has been so much change this year. We lost a lot. Many of us have lost jobs, financial security, stability, friends, loved ones. Maybe some of us feel like we've lost some freedom. Some of our answers will be the same. I think most of us miss being around people. You know, I've never considered myself a hugger, but I miss hugs. I miss in-person church services. I miss slow news days. What do you miss? I miss walking around Target for no reason. I'm not even a shopper, but that's something I miss. I miss eating in a restaurant. Write down the things that you miss. Question number three. What have you had to do differently? I know I've had to learn how to do guest speaking talks differently. It's all Zoom and Facebook now. My kid has to figure out how to do her senior year of high school differently. She's doing that online. Many of us grocery shop differently. Who knew you could order your things online, pull up, and just have them put it in your car? If you're feeling really rich, they'll bring it right to your door. It's not all bad, right? We have to eat restaurant food differently. I know I've had to learn how to order things online, and I learned that Chipotle has $1 delivery where I live. Same burritos, done a little bit differently. What have you done, had to do differently? Okay, this one's going to seem weird, but we're going to go there. Question number four is, what are you angry about? This is where we get down and dirty with our humanness and our egos. And also with what we're clinging to that maybe we need to let go of. I can say with all honesty, I'm angry about a lot. I'm just going to be real. I'm angry with people that won't wear a mask. I'm angry with people who won't stay home. I'm angry with the sheer volume of the loss of life, the lack of leadership and help from our elected officials. I'll stop there. This is where you get it all out. What are you angry about? Question number five, how did the civil unrest of 2020 impact you? Now, it may not have, and that's fine too. There are certainly no right or wrong answers to any of these. There were protests and riots across the country that seemed like they went on for months. I know for me, there was a period of a few weeks where I hardly slept because things felt so unstable in the country. Maybe you were moved to protest yourself or donate to a cause or volunteer with an organization. How did the civil unrest of 2020 impact you? Question number six is, how do you feel about the election and our government? Now, I promise I don't really mean this as a political question. I frame this myself from more of a spiritual perspective of truth, capital T truth. What is true for me and helping me sort through what are maybe lies that we're seeing. Trusting in my truth and really trusting in what I believe were the good ideas that this country was founded on. I think this year really showed how unstable those ideas are. So what's mine to do about that? How do you feel about the election and our government? Question number 7 is not a question. Name the goodness to come out of 2020. This is where you get to think about the magic moments that you experienced and list them. We mentioned, you know, making magic for the new year in 2021, but there were magic moments in 2020. You might have to look really hard. What were yours? I know I made friendships through this center that I never would have made if it weren't for the pandemic. There was goodness in unexpected circumstances and places. Now, I have to share this one little story because it is my favorite magic moment, finding the goodness in 2020, and it still makes me laugh. About 9 months ago, when this pandemic, you know, really hit the US and we had stay-at-home orders and all of that, I'm sure you remember that all the stores ran out of toilet paper, right? Well, my oldest daughter is 22. She lives in Nevada across the country, and she was on her last roll of toilet paper. So even if I mailed her some, it wasn't going to get there in time. And she was going to Walmart and Target and grocery stores every day and just found empty shelves. She had nothing she could do. So we were talking, and I said, well, let's think outside the box. Like, where's a place that you could go that you wouldn't normally think to go to buy toilet paper, like a gas station or a 7-Eleven? So she went to a 7-Eleven and finally found a 4-pack of toilet paper. So she was very happy and relieved. That was great. And a couple days later, I got a text message from her that said, Mom, you're not going to believe this, but that 7-Eleven toilet paper is life-changing. I love it. It's my new favorite toilet paper. I'm going to get it there all the time. And she was very serious. And I still laugh about that because there's a silver lining. Who knew that 7-Eleven had the best toilet paper? Let me go back to our screen here. Okay, so what are your magic moments? List them, list all the goodness that happened for you in 2020. Now, question number 8, what has 2020 taught you? I feel like I could write a book on this one, I think. I know I needed to learn about being pushed out of my comfort zone. 2020 taught me about self-care and my health, balance and security, and how to create that in my life. 2020 has reminded me all the ways that spirit is present, even when I feel off balance and shaken and scared. It's taught me compassion to not just tolerate, but to honor and celebrate all life, including the planet. What has 2020 taught you? Now, question number 9 is to list your desires for 2021. And when you do this, it's important to do it from a place of knowing all things are possible. If you desire for the complete eradication of the COVID-19 coronavirus, then write that down. Maybe you desire employment or, you know, the dream job that pays you the most you've ever been paid. Maybe you desire to meet the love of your life or a new home, the healing of a nation. It's definitely okay and encouraged here to shoot for the moon, big or small. What do you want to manifest into form? List your desires for 2021. And then the last one, question number 10, is kind of an offshoot of that last one. What do you wish most for 2021? When you look at your list of desires, if you could see only one thing manifest and come to fruition, which one would you choose? Now, we know you can actually have them all. There's no argument there. But for this one, just pick one. And consider, what is the God word that fits with that desire? Is it health, wholeness, prosperity, joy, love, wisdom, harmony, balance. Whatever it is, make this quality, the word, be the magic you create and focus on in 2021. Say goodbye and release the lack of that word, and say hello to the divine presence of it. And most importantly, when you're doing this, believe it's already done. So before I conclude and wrap up, we're going to pause and listen to a beautiful song about letting go. And while you do that, you can go back through any of the questions that you didn't get to write everything down for. Here is Let Go by Christine Gilardi.
I am learning how to let go of what I think is real. Spirit's teaching me to let go peacefully, peacefully. I am shifting my focus from my physical to my soul.
Sorry, that ended abruptly. I'm back. Okay. It is my hope that this time of stillness and contemplation with these questions was a meaningful practice for you and feels like a releasing. Now, at the end of the service, if you're on Zoom, we're going to open it up and unmute everybody after the Facebook stream is stopped. And if something came up for you, we'll have an opportunity to share and speak your word in a supportive, loving community. Or you can just stay and listen and support others who are sharing. It is magical to do things like that together. And that was the title of the talk today, Making Magic, Healing 2020. We know that this year and all that it entailed is not happening to us. It's happening through us and as us. It seems weird to use the word magic, like making magic. This is not abracadabra stuff. We know that. We use spiritual principles and we experience magical lives. So I encourage you to envision your boldest, highest idea of life and align with that in thought, word, and action. I'm going to close with an affirmation for us to read together. Here it is. I am making magic every time I align with the power, presence, and authority of divine truth in me. I let go where I need to let go. I welcome change where I need to welcome change. I know through it all, no matter where I am in the process, I am wrapped in unlimited grace, infinite intelligence, and unconditional love. And so it is. All right, now we have one of our wonderful Board of Trustee members, Karen Childs, for some announcements and our offering.
Good morning, everybody. Along the lines of introspection that Cynthia has been talking about these last several minutes, I wanted to share with you briefly a personal overview of my perspective on charitable giving. Every year I save up my charitable giving for certain kinds of charities that I don't really have a personal connection to, but I trust from afar that they are doing good works. The folks that give mortgage-free homes to veterans' families. The year that I began to support a particular charity, and I called my brother, or actually I wrote him a note, and I said, "Hey, Merry Christmas, I bought you a goat." It's not actually delivering to your house, but it is coming in your name to a family that will use it for milk and baby goats and whatever else goats are for. So that kind of charitable giving has a special place in my heart. And then I contrast that and compare it with the kinds of things that make a difference to me on a daily basis that are in fact an entity like Centers for Spiritual Living that has really taught me about the fundamental things that drive my life, like how to find my own good. And if my own good isn't apparent in whatever I'm looking at, I need to move on, shift gears, turn left or right. And so that kind of a charity seemed to have a different kind of impact on me. It was emotional for me. While I could appreciate the others and the good work they were doing worldwide or even in my hometown, still the ones that matter to me every morning of every day that guide me in a way that I have come to rely upon, and I can't live without it. So I don't know if any of that resonates with you. We live in a world of abundance and we support these things. So I'm asking for your support if CSL means to you what it means to me to not only take care of it this year, charitable deduction, 501c3, but also monthly or whatever suits you. It's a worthy cause because you are the happy beneficiary of its goodness. So, Vance, do you have our schedule? We want to read together our affirmation for prosperity. And when Vance puts that up, you can all say it loud and proud, right out loud in your own home. It matters. You know, when you hear the sound of your own voice affirming this stuff. Here we go. All right, say it with me. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly, and so it is. And now we'll have a look at what our opportunities are to connect. And once again, I'm not going to read this to you. You certainly, I have it on good authority, all can read. But the overarching message here is that there's Sunday morning, there are Tuesday afternoons, there are Sunday morning celebrations and Sunday morning class in advance. So connecting and kind of keeping up with your daily practice and enforcing it because you have interacted with others of like mind is a powerful thing. And it is a very, very worthwhile endeavor. And you are the happy beneficiary of it. So if you read on down, you will see how to donate through our website if you like. You can also send a check by snail mail. Works just as well if that is what you like to do. And I wish all of you a very prosperous, healthy, happy new year in whatever order you put your priorities, that all that you want for yourself will be manifested every day, all day. Love to you.
Thank you, Karen. I affirm that as well, and I appreciate that so much. Okay, well, don't forget to stick around if you'd like. We just processed a lot of stuff, so we will have the Zoom open. Let's wrap things up with our affirmation of life. Thank you, Vance. Yeah, say it loud and proud with me. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.